Well, we're in our final week of this series on Philippians. So let's turn in your Bibles, just get it ready to Philippians, the book of Philippians. And I've really enjoyed this series. I've enjoyed going through it and learning myself and growing in my faith. It's a real faith builder, this type of book. And the sermon series, the title for this sermon, this last sermon in the series, is called In All Things, In All Things. You know, we've seen in this book how this young Philippian congregation, this young congregation that Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, started, this young congregation, we've seen them grow through good and bad circumstances. They have faithfulness, but yet they have problems like any other congregation. They've gone from this collection of pagan people, because remember, Philippi was one of those cities, as I've said a few times now, it did not have a significant Jewish population. And that mattered back then because of the fact that the only people in the world that were monotheistic, that worshiped the one true God, were the Jews. So if you had a city with very few Jews, people were not hearing about the one true God, but they were hearing about the pantheon of gods or all these other gods that they can follow. So that's the culture of Philippi, or was the culture. And this was the first European congregation on the shores of Macedonia. So they were this group of pagan people, this city of pagans. And they were transformed to a congregation of God-fearers, of followers of Messiah Yeshua, of followers of the God of Israel, the one true God in all the world. So this was a major transformation. We've seen this transformation and this working in their lives throughout the book. Shaul is writing this letter not from there, or he's not with them there physically. He's writing this letter from Rome, from imprisonment, most likely house arrest. So he's not able to even be there to encourage them, to even be there and help them along. He's got to do it through a letter, which was the means of communication, the only means of communication really that day if you were not physically there. He sent a letter to them. And he went through, and this is the letter that we're reading, the book of Philippians, this letter. He can't be with them, but he's with them in spirit. He was there to teach, to guide, to correct, to encourage as their spiritual father. And you can see, as a spiritual father, how proud he was of this group of pagans that had been transformed into this group of God-fearers. You can see the pride he has. Not a bad pride, but a good pride in the Lord that he has helped them. He has gotten this congregation off of its feet. And in the end of the book, he gives them all the customary greetings and the goodbyes that we typically see in the epistles from Paul. And we know he wrote a lot of them in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. And he leaves them with this one nugget, which is what I want to talk to you about today. He leaves them with this overriding thought in the passage we're going to be covering. And that is that thought that God should be permeating everything you do. In all things, you should be worshiping and obeying the God of Israel, the one true God. Don't let him into some areas of your life, the parts that you only want him to come in. Let him into every area, even those deep, dark dungeons of your heart. Those places that, you know, you locked it up, you threw away the key, you don't want anybody in, including yourself. That's where God needs to go. He needs to go to every part of us. This is the overriding thought that I believe Shaul is leaving us with in this book. Open those deep parts and let the Lord in. Every area of your life. In all things, let the God of Israel be your God. That is the message he's giving the Philippians, and that's the message he's giving us today. Let's get started. Turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. This is Shaul writing here. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I'm found in to be content. In whatever situation he found himself in, his goal was to be content or contented. The definition of content is someone who is satisfied with what one has. So satisfied with what one has, not wanting more. So in all things, Shaul was saying to be content. Don't ask for more. Be happy with what you've been given. Be happy with what you've received from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 2. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia, the congregations of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Now, why did I put this scripture in here? Philippi was a Macedonian congregation. Okay? So this is Shaul writing in another book, 2 Corinthians, or to the Corinthian people, talking about their brothers and sisters in that other congregation in Macedonia called Philippi. And it says about them, in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overwhelmed in a wealth of generosity. This scripture is referring to the Philippians. Many times we have much, but we're not happy. If only I had this in my life. If only I had something going on like this in my life. We always say that, you know, fill in the blank. If only I had that thing, or if only had that job, or that car, or that family, whatever it might be. We're not content. We're not content. But the Philippians were content. That was one of the things. You know, I was looking through Revelation, the first few chapters of the seven congregations. You know, the problem ones. Every one of them has a problem. Philippi wasn't mentioned. So they were doing something right. They didn't make the bad list, right? They didn't make the naughty list from John, who was writing Revelation, obviously through the Lord. But, you know, the Philippians were noted for their generosity, even in the midst of not having much, being poor, having poverty. Yet in their poverty, he was saying to them, don't ask for more. Just be content with what you have been given. Be content with what situation you're in. Be happy. Be joyful in every situation. We've talked about that before. You know, but a lot of times we focus on the material aspect. If I only had this much money, I'd be okay, right? If I only won that Powerball, I'd be fine. Only. Just got, what is it, like six numbers right, and you'd be really, really rich. But be content, he's saying. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. A couple of things. Scripture doesn't talk about hating money or money is bad or having wealth is bad. We know there was wealthy people. Joseph of Arimathea, all these other people were wealthy in Scripture. Doesn't mean they were bad or they were sinning or they didn't redistribute their wealth. This wasn't like a glorified socialistic program here. There was always wealthy people and there was always poor people. Yeshua said you'll always have the poor among you. It's a fact of life. It's how the world works. But when it's talking about material things, be content with what you have. Don't love, the love of money is bad. Money, having money or not having money is not bad. But loving it, desiring it, coveting it. If I only had this, I'd be happy. I'd be fine. Everything would be okay in my life. But he says, I will not leave you or forsake you. Now that doesn't only apply to material things. Maybe it's non-material things you're saying, oh, I just need this. If I only had this, if I only went to this congregation, you know? I know none of you say that because you go to such a great congregation. But if I only went to this place, I'd be great. If they only had these programs, we'd be okay. If they only had this dynamic leader, listen, I can't be Jonathan Kahn or somebody else. I've got to be me. You've got me. You're stuck with me. Amen. And I'm stuck with you. But you know, God has given us what he's given us. There's a reason why you're here and not with Jonathan Kahn or somebody else. Because God has placed you here. Be content with what God has placed you. What we're saying right now is where we are right now. Don't want more. Don't be wishing for more. And I'm not saying we should be happy with poverty. That we should be happy not having things in our lives. And it's not that at all. We should work hard to get better. My ancestors came to this country, and your ancestors came to this country at one point or another seeking what? A better life. Okay? The Irish people came here because they were starving in Ireland. The Jewish people came here because there was pogroms in Russia and problems in Germany. All these other types, all these people came here seeking a better life. There's nothing wrong with that. Our ancestors didn't sin because they wanted more and they were not content. That's not what I'm saying. But whatever situation God has put you in, and there's situations you're put in and you can't change it. You cannot change who your boss is at work. Oh, I don't like that boss. Let's change him or her out. I'll take that one over there. You can't change it. You need to be content. God has placed you under that boss for a reason. Maybe it's to learn some things. I've been placed under some not so great bosses in my life. And I've had to learn things. Maybe God is doing that with you. But in all things, can we be content? Contentment equals trusting God. If we are content, that means we trust God has put us here and that He has our best interests at heart. Okay? There's scriptures, multiple scriptures that explain that. But in all things, be content. In all things, let God be the God of your life. Amen and amen. Philippians 4:13. Let's turn there. Philippians 4:13. This is a great scripture. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This is another thing Shaul was telling the Philippians on his way out with the letter. Finishing up the letter. You know how they say, save the best for last? He's giving some really golden nuggets here. In all things, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The New King, I'm reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version, when I put up scriptures. It's interesting sometimes with translations how they're a little bit different. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The New King James says I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. Let's remember who we're talking about here. In any translation, we're speaking about Yeshua. We're speaking about the Messiah. I can do all things through Him. You know, many people see God as this type of genie. You know, the genie. Kind of like I always think of Aladdin and Robin Williams and the genie. If you want something, if you need something, if anything is going bad in your life, you just rub the lamp. You just rub the lamp and you'll get that wish. I need a million. Did you ever see the commercial? I need $1 million, right? And all of a sudden, $1 million, you know, the animal appears. Be careful what you ask for. You should have said, I need $1 million. Many people see God as this genie. You know, if I just rub the lamp, ask God, He'll give. Or it's like a slot machine. I'm just going to put the coin in, pull the slot machine, bang, out comes a bunch of money. Out comes a bunch of whatever I need. Maybe we see God in that way, but that's actually a really perverted way and a really bad way of looking at our relationship with God. And it totally goes against the whole be content thing. But in all things, what it means, I can do all things through Messiah. It doesn't mean that anything I want, Messiah will give me. Or I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. We say to ourselves, I can do all things. I am empowered. You know, it's this whole idea of, are we focusing on the Messiah or the I in that line? That's why this Philippians 4:13, sometimes people can take it and run with it, especially out of context. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. No, it's I can do all things through Him, through the Messiah who strengthens me. He is empowered. He is the one that does all things through us, through our bodies, but it's His power. Too oftentimes today in the body of Messiah, we're taking God's power and we're fusing it with this whole I thing, this whole self-love or self-help. You know, out there you have all these people and you can't tell sometimes with these preachers whether they're self-help gurus or they're preaching the Word of God. Do all this stuff and you're going to have a great life. Do all this stuff and you're going to have wealth. That's the prosperity gospel. That's a complete perversion of the Word. Do all these things and you'll get this. That's not what it's all about. I can do everything because I've got God behind me fueling my engine so I can go accomplish this. That's a focus on you, on the self. We should be focusing on the Lord. We're allowed to do things in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. That's how we have to approach that scripture. We have to put that tagline in, and we have to increase it. Through Messiah who strengthens me, I'm allowed to do these things. I can do these things. He has given me a way. Without the Messiah, I could never do these things. Do you see the emphasis? It's on the Lord and not on us. The problem is the us always gets us in trouble. Here's a few scriptures for you. Genesis 3:19. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That doesn't sound too great. It doesn't sound like, ooh, look at me, I'm dust, you know. Nobody ever said that. We came from dust and we're going to go back to dust. Our bodies, we're nothing. This is the point. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? What do we hear these days? Just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. It'll all work out. No. That's the opposite advice you should be taking. The scriptures tell us our heart is wicked and deceitful. Not that we're evil beings, but that when we rely on ourselves and left to our own devices, we're going to really mess this thing up. But because God is rich in mercy, because Messiah lives in me, then I can do all things. That's the right focus. Romans 3:10. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. We are not righteous in and of ourselves. We need the Lord in our lives. We don't find scripture that says we're mighty, that we're this, that we're that. The truth is we're fallen and weak and think too much of ourselves, and we are not all that. But before you get all depressed, God is all that, right? It is Him that's fueling us. It is Him that's directing our steps. Is it Him that's giving us wisdom? It's Him that's giving us discernment. It's Him that's providing for all of our needs. We need to be content that it's Him that's doing all these things. In all these things, Messiah is working in me. In all things, let God be the God of your life. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Philippians 4:18 through 19. If you're counting, this is nugget number 3. Philippians 4:18 and 19. I have received full payment, Shaul talking, and more. I am well supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. So Epaphroditus was the guy that was running back and forth. I believe he brought the letter to the Philippians and he went back to Shaul, giving Shaul the gifts of this very generous yet poor congregation in Philippi, this Macedonian congregation. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Messiah Yeshua. That's a great scripture. My God will supply every need of yours, every one of our needs, according to His riches in glory in Messiah Yeshua. We talked last week about how we don't have to worry, that God will help us through every difficulty, through every high, and through every low. As I said earlier, you walk through this valley and it's dark and there's death all around you, but God is there. God is there. You're walking up and you're on the you're on the top point, right? You've just climbed Mount Everest and you're just beaming because you're just at this high point in your life. God is there. So He's with you in the lowest depths of this swampy, nasty place. And He's with you at the highest heights on every mountaintop. What's the constant? God is there. God is with us. We don't need to worry. We tend to think that every experience has to be supernatural, though. We tend to think that every experience has to be God has got to bring the ravens to feed us, like He brought the ravens to feed Elijah, right? The supernatural signs and wonders. We need to see that when things are going bad in our lives. We expect supernatural that God is going to do things. And yes, He does supernaturally do things. But guess what? God uses people to accomplish His purposes. You see? The Philippians were used to accomplish the purposes of God, to supply Shaul. The ravens could have come and supplied him, you know? Could have been a special delivery, to the house in Rome, but no, God uses people. It doesn't always have to be a supernatural occurrence. I'm not saying God doesn't do that, but he will use people in your lives, or maybe he's using you to be his hands and feet, to go out and do things. Have you ever wondered why we're called the body of Messiah? In physiology, the head controls everything, right? The head's got the brain in it. The brain fires all these messages to the arm. My arm just moved because my brain told it to move. My leg just moved because my brain told it to move. Right? When you run, when you walk, when you do everything, it's because the head, the brain, is controlling all these messages, sending them out to your body and telling your body what to do. But the body carries out the work of the brain. The brain can't pick something up. The head can't go and fix something or do something. You have to have the body taking the orders from the brain. Okay? The body is the arm, the leg, the other parts. They carry out what the brain wants. We are the body of Messiah. We got his brain, his head. And he's sending all these messages to all of us. Maybe you're an elbow. Okay, there you go. Maybe you're a finger. Maybe you're, I don't know what. Hopefully nobody's the armpit here. But in everything, we have a part. And we can't all be fingers. It's not like a million fingers of one body. Everybody has a full, you know, to function right, you have to have two arms, two legs, 10 toes, 10 fingers. And every single one of those things has a purpose. I can't grab something with my femur. You know what I mean? I can't do that. I got to grasp it with my hand. That's the hand's job. But I can't kick a soccer ball with my hand. I got to kick it with my foot. Everybody has a job to do. And the Philippians' job, one of their jobs, what God told them to do, what the brain fired down for them to do, was to go and supply Shaul. That was going to bless him. That was going to help him. That was their role. God uses people to accomplish his purposes. And he was rejoicing in that. You know, they got it. They were not listed as the bad church, one of the bad congregations in Revelation. They got it. They understood. Even in their poverty. Listen, even in our poverty, we can accomplish things. Oh, I can't accomplish. I don't have any money. God will supply. Okay? The Philippians were a poor congregation. How ironic that they gave to Shaul. You know? God will take you who is deficient in this, and he'll use you to be this kind of person to somebody else. It's amazing how God does it. He works in our weaknesses. He works when we're powerless. That's the supernatural part about it. That's the supernatural part of the body of Messiah. We carry out what the brain wants us to do. Philippians 4:14-17. And yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that I'm in the beginning, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church, no congregation entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. So they did it again. They did it when he was in Corinth and in Thessalonica. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Wow, that's powerful. Wow. That is powerful that they gave, not out of their excess, they gave out of their need. That's amazing. That's showing the faithfulness of the Lord. That's showing faith. That's showing trust. That's showing the heart of God. These Philippians were getting it, weren't they? They were showing the heart of God. They were helping Shaul. There was a need, and they, as the body, were practically helping to fulfill it, and it was a supernatural thing. God will supply, but he may just be asking you to go out and be his hands and his feet today. Oh, I could never do that. You know, the first time my old rabbi said, hey, would you, you know, have you ever considered going into ministry? All I remember is where I was sitting. You know how you have those things like where you were when this happened? I remember the restaurant I was in. Remember the part of town. Remember where I was sitting. And I remember my response. No way. And I did not hesitate. But be careful, because God could be calling you to do something and you might think, no way. I'm not qualified. I can't do it. I don't speak well. I'm too shy. I don't have enough experience. God will use you if you are willing. God, you know, God is always about showing his power. How could he show his power if some rich person just gives out of their excess? He could show his power by having a poor Philippian congregation give. That's a witness to other people. And man, I'll tell you what, it sounds like the Philippians were a witness to some other congregations too, that were maybe even more wealthy than them. Can you imagine the shame? Uh-oh, that poor congregation gave more than we did. That's showing you that that's a testimony, that's a witness to the Lord. Everyone should miraculously receive a divine revelation that Yeshua is the Messiah. You know, you always hear the stories. I was just laying in my bed, and all of a sudden Yeshua appeared. I'm like, wow, that happened for you? That didn't happen for me. You know, everybody wants these supernatural occurrences. A lot of times with Jewish people, that's what happens. Because for centuries, Jewish people were told, that Jesus guy's not for you. So a lot of times, Jewish people come to the Lord through a miraculous instance, and it's usually Yeshua. Remember that Jewish guy a few thousands of years ago that was on this road, and all of a sudden, he had to get blinded? Pray that you don't get blinded. But God can will miraculously do things. And yes, people come to see him, to know him in a miraculous way. But I'll tell you how I came to know the Lord is by people sharing the Lord with me. Okay? I came to know the Lord because I went to a congregation and they preached the Word of God. They didn't preach how to a self-help book to me. They preached the Word of God. And I read the Word of God. And I believe the Word of God. And that's what we have to do. But it doesn't work unless you, as the hands and feet, go bring somebody to the congregation or go talk to somebody at the water cooler. Oh, I don't know what to say. Well, you know, you're probably saying a lot anyway without saying anything because our witness, just our witness alone is enough. It's more powerful sometimes than our words. Look for opportunities to be used as his hands and feet. Look for opportunities to share. Look for opportunities to bring people to the congregation. There's people out there that don't know about us. And let me tell you, when God turns them on, it's going to be like, whoa, I can't believe you're here. Or, I can't believe that this life was here, this life of peace. I haven't known that all my life. It would have never happened unless somebody spoke to you or somebody spoke to me. So we need to be his hands and feet. But in all things, God will supply. And in all things, let God be the God of your life. That's the message today. Be content. Know that God is working. And you know what? He can use even the little you have for his purposes. Isn't it amazing how these are the last things that Shaul was talking about before he finishes the letter? All that encouragement, all that striving and that growing. Let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. It's all about the Lord in all things. Not just the fun things, not just the good things. Like I said, not just the things that are easy to change in our lives. You got to go get that key back and you got to go unlock that dungeon where there's stuff there. I'm not saying go parade out all your problems in front of everybody. Go to the Lord. Give it to him. That's all it takes. God, I have kept this from you. God, I need to work on this. God, I'm not content. Help me with that. You just go to the Lord. That's what it's about. So I want to close today and closing out this book, closing out these thoughts. And I just want to challenge you in your life. You know, has God been speaking to you through this sermon series? Has he been speaking to you about striving? Has he been speaking to you about grace and his grace and, oh, I don't deserve it? Whatever you've been, we did this for 8 weeks. We've been going through Philippians. What have you learned? What have you grown with? Focus on those things. Maybe it's a contentment issue. Maybe it's a problem with, I don't know, whatever. Remember last week we talked about a disagreement between two women in the congregation in Philippi. Maybe you've had problems with a friend or something. But you need to take it to the Lord. You need to get it out of the way so that you can more effectively be used. You know? It's like when you have a problem with your body's not functioning correctly. You got to go get it fixed. You got to go to the doctor. You got to go to the surgeon. You got to get it done. Because if you don't get it done, it just gets worse and worse and worse. But go get it fixed so that you can be his hands and his feet. Let's pray. Lord, God of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord, thank you. If you can take a group of pagan people in Macedonia and transform them to radical followers of Yeshua that are even giving out of their poverty, Lord, you can do miracles in our lives today. Lord, I just pray right now that you would challenge us all to, in all things, give to you, in all things to love you, in all things to let you in all things to be empowered through Messiah. We can do all things through Messiah. You can do things you never even thought you could do, because it's not you, it's Messiah working in you. So today I ask, Lord, that you would hear our hearts, that as we open our hearts to you, Lord God, that you would just take away whatever the issue is, that you would strengthen if there needs to be strengthening, that you would heal if there needs to be healing, that you would open eyes if eyes need to be opened, Lord, and that you would reveal yourself even more today to us. It's all about you, and it's all about growing in our faith and in all things giving to you. I thank you, God. We're just overwhelmed by the love that we have in you. We're overwhelmed by the opportunity to even come to you. Who are we? We're the people that mess up all the time. We're the people that treat other people badly. Don't think about other people. We're the people that treat ourselves badly, Lord. But you and your great mercy and peace, you have allowed us to come into your courts and even into the Holy of Holies through Yeshua. So we're overwhelmed today, Lord God, for your great love for us. And we thank you. And in all things, may we let you in. May we worship you, praise you, and give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor that you deserve. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.